Greetings, hello, and welcome to the Beyond Earth show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and it is the spring equinox. It is March 21st, 2026, and what a beautiful time it is of the year. And so we are also in the midst of Mercury going direct. So I'm going to address a bit of the psycho-spiritual aspects of what we're, let's say, in the presence of in the metaphysical, in the spiritual, in the divine order of things. And during spring equinox, in, let's say, a broadness of whatever direction in your belief system applies to you, essentially, the overall, let's say, equilibrium of things, that it's truly in the cosmic alignment. It's not just seasonal. We are encountering the deepest level of a cosmic alignment. The cosmic order is restored, the equinox in itself. And so when we look upon how the earth, this how the placement is and how it's tilting to neither toward or away, and then everything is kind of in this influx, like a coalescing moment. And we look within at ourselves at the same time. How are we in our own equinox within, internally? Are we in our own equilibrium? What has been imbalanced? What is balanced? And so, we can also ask, what is aligned within ourselves cosmically, divinely, Christ aligned, Buddhist aligned, whatever it is that works for you, angelic alignment. So, if we look at the celestial alignment, the cosmic alignment, and we see what crosses our threshold. So, if we're crossing with the sun on the celestial equator, it's essentially that threshold crossing. But where are we within our souls, within ourselves, within our psyche? And we're returning to light. So the relationship with light, what is being restored in that relationship to the light, to the sun, to what's also correct for ourselves. And we look at the harmony and the peace that we seek to restore that in a reset of ways. So if we look at across the board, multi-culture, multi-traditions, theological approaches, we see the reopening of life and a reset of order. And when we say yes in the divine aspect of continuation, that we shall live, that we live, and we're also technically, if you're Catholic or Christian, we're in the fourth week of Lent. And so, we're in the mortification process as we speak, letting things be still before the life re-enters. If we go into Easter and the resurrection. And when we see in the Christian Catholic vision, the Christ conscious vision of the resurrection and the triumph of light. And so while we're leading into Easter, we see what transforms within us, the story that transforms. And we look at the cosmic moment within ourselves with the cosmic alignment, what's concurrent. And we see within ourselves what becomes more so personal, which is always personal, and what is more on the salvific way in our salvation, right? So we look at how we've left the darkness, the death, the suffering, the descent, perhaps the, and then going into the apathy of things, that stillness, that psycho-spiritual preparation for what's to come ahead. That spiritual protection, that veil of protection, the armor of God upon us. But we look into the next chapter, the next scene, and the next scene is the light, the resurrection, the victory, eternal life. In that salvific way, we see that in the resurrection, it does not deny the darkness, but it passes through, it transforms, it alchemizes, just like the equinox. Just like the spring equinox. And we can look at all of the light and the dark and the shadow, and I'll get into that. But when we're transforming, we're transcending, that we recognize the darkness still exists within, right? The shadow still exists within, but it no longer is the dominance. It's not in the intentional of dominance. It's more like letting the light return. And the light can be complemented with that beautiful authority, not by force, but in that sovereign authority of I deserve, I shall receive, I shall ask, I shall pray, I shall meditate, I shall invoke, I shall bring this forth into my field, right? And when we see the cosmic balance that is resonant with spiritual victory, we see it within ourselves, we see it in the aspects of wherever culturally or traditionally or theologically you may stand, but also what is undoubtedly is the seasonal rebirth. And in the minds of many of us, we can see the seasonal rebirth as eternal life. And so when we look at the agricultural aspect too of how the earth responds in the spring equinox, it is truly the most grounded layer. And it's sacred, of course, but it's not just sacred, but it's part of sustenance, right? So if we can plant the seeds and we are shown that survival is possible yet again. And when the soil warms, when we go back to our, the ancient times and the indigenous that's present today, and then in the agricultural, and those that have your own garden, those that have your own homesteads, or those where you're waiting for just this moment, you feel that shift, even if you're not a farmer or gardener, but you go and you purchase your harvest, right? That's the will to live. So agriculture in this synonymous context is truly an embodiment of faith. When you look at how you plant a seed, right? And we can look at this literally and metaphorically, but when you plant a seed into something that is, let's say, unseen, the darkness. So when you, let's say a carrot, for instance, if you have the intention of planting for carrots, you don't know what's going on underneath unless you have a special microscope that can look beneath the soil, right? And you can watch it. And there's those beautiful time lapse, right? That we can see. But it's that faith that something that we're working on has the space to grow and the proper sustenance, the proper nutrients, whether it be the right amount of shade, the right amount of sun, the right amount of precipitation, water, nutrients, all of that, and also in the ecosystem, whether it be the mealworms or the ladybugs or just the right amount where God's creation is always abundant, even when it comes out of its long winter of sleep. So when you place something that's unseen into the darkness, so the unseen is essentially like a seed, and the darkness is of soil, perhaps. You trust that it will rise. You trust that something will grow. You trust that that carrot will grow into the light. But when you do it also for yourself, in the psycho-spiritual aspect, in the emotional realm, in the mental, in the manifestation, in the prayer, in whatever it is that you're planting the seed within, or you're planting and positing a seed into someone else and helping them to see their own truth. It's always up to the person to believe in themselves also. So believing in that cosmic order can be restored, and it generally reflects that we will live, we will prosper, we will survive. And so that is what I mean by agriculture is the embodiment of faith in this application. Because when you apply this thought into that realm of, we all hear, oh, you reap what you sow, the karmic balance, as above, so below, the Hermetic dictum of that everything has its time, and to every season, there's a reason, to every reason, there's a season, right? And if we look at even in the pagan traditions of Ostara, right? And we look at how there's the rebirth, the fertility, the seeds, the soil, the growth. We look at the eggs, like the potential, the divine cosmic egg, the potential of reality, the latent life. And then if we look at the beautiful hairs, right, the rabbits, it's the abundance, the vitality, and it's the, everlasting, the promise that this will continue to persist and exist, and the life cycle is of abundance, that life was never gone. Life has always been, just parts of it symbolically may be in a gestation period in its own winter, but not in death. And so when we look at how spring begins, when we look at how we're in this renewal, a new year, and we also can look at the aliveness of that and the embodiment of that. And when we go back to the resurrection, we go back to the resurrection of Christ and the rebirth and the transmutation, we see the cosmic balance is essentially the spiritual victory of ourself. And then that rebirth of the seasons represents that eternal life cycle and circle and trust. And so trusting in the cosmos, the balance, right? So when we stop to think about, okay, what are the unifying patterns? What are the threads? What's the tapestry, right? What is the cosmic web, of divinity that we're all experiencing from wherever we stand, from whatever theological background or non-theological background or our own cultural belief, whatever it might be, that in your own individual language, your own individuation, what is within your shadow, what is within the witness of yourself, what is within the witness of the shadow, witnessing the next scene, the next phase of your illumination. So when you look upon yourself as a living reflection, and those that walk the path of Christ, we see it as we look upon the living reflection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice made for us, and the promise that life is eternal, that the hope is eternal, the promise of love, the promise of the soul salvation. But if we also look at in the metaphysical of that, in the alchemy of the cosmic order, we see that the composition starts to balance out. So whatever it is you believe or not believe in, there is such the aspect that is the truth of that we have yin and yang. We have the balance. We have the shadow. We have the light. We have the darkness within ourselves, the light within ourselves. But when light does return, when it wants to return, we can literally have that resurrection of what's been seen or what was hidden now to be revealed to ourselves. And so when I speak about alignment, and we can look at, especially right now, because Mercury just went direct and we have the shadow phase for a good 11 days or so, give or take. But we're coming out of a threshold of like a liminal place where perhaps we go through a threefold path and we go through a return to our senses, a return to our mind's eye. We return to what's been hidden, what's been suppressed. Where have we not been taking action? Where have we been in a slumber due to trauma, due to the transgressions of others, due to fear, due to, free-floating anxiety or crippling anxiety, all of that, right? What's been forced in the shadow to stay in the shadow, stay suppressed? And where has that partial light been wanting to enter in? Where have we been resisting? Where have we been also watching that aspect in the resistance, right? And so we know that our life is fully present, but sometimes not everything is revealed to us in the mysteries, right? The mysteries of God, the mysteries of the cosmos, mysteries of the universe, the mysteries of the future. And we come out of this gestational period, like in its own way, like a death of a cycle in that season of reason. But when it's not just as a winter of gestation, but it's perhaps an absence that is not truly the absence, but we can feel as if it's an absence of light. But it's never the absence of light because the light was never absent. It was just tucked away. now wanting to come through. So if we take a moment and we look into, becoming the human that you seek, or if you feel as if you're, let's say, connected to the earth, but you feel like you relate to the cosmos more, like your lineage is more of a starseed lineage, that you feel connected to more of the divine galactic kingdom. But as Jesus said, to be of this world, but not of it, to be in this world, but not of it. A lot of you may feel that. A lot of you may feel that, especially if you're an empath or if you're walking the path on a spiritual plane, that you feel that you're here in a liminal place on planet Earth. And, many theologians have stated, of course, that this particular Earth plane could be seen as the hell realm in a way. And then at times it's getting to the paradise, right? The paradiso. But if we just take all that and we just look at it, we don't focus too much on it. But when we see ourselves in these cycles, right? Where are you in your own personal hell realm? Are you in your own personal state of darkness? Are you in your own place of wanting to resurrect in your own self to come out of that, to come back into the light? So the spring equinox is truly for wanting to reveal that own inner triumph of your light. So we feel the sunlight, we feel the golden glow, we feel even on where it's like just aggressively warm, aggressively hot, right? It's like just sometimes unbearable. But we go through these phases where it's either freezing cold or agonizingly hot. But we go through the inflow, the outflow, and we adapt. So the adaptation essentially of ourself, we go into the psyche, and this is what I mean by the balance. So when we look at the balance that our psyche seeks, we go into the light and the shadow integration. So when I speak of the yin and the yang, psychologically, we have the divine feminine, the masculine, right? The shadow, the light, the moon, the sun, all the opposites, right? But we need the opposites to be cohesive, to have a symbiosis, to equate to the meaning. Because light can't be light if dark doesn't exist. Dark can't be dark without light existing. We can't have one without the other, per se, right? So we kind of need the integration in our bodily self, in our spiritual, emotional, innate self, and also in the supernatural kingdom of the cosmos. We need, there's places where there's the gravity, non-gravity, there's linear versus non-linear. So there are different elements that we can utilize throughout our lives, what we can see corresponding, what we can draw from, what we can learn from. And if we go into our light aspect, right? When we're in the equinox, light and dark are essentially equal. They need each other to exist. They need each other to perform. They need each other to, as a subset to one another. But if we also look psychologically, though, the integration of the shadow, and many of you are familiar with Carl Jung, and in the Jungian studies and discoveries, that when we're in the integration of the shadow, what we feel deep within our subconscious is recording every single moment of every single timeline, whether we're consciously aware of it or not. Some of us repress the memory, some of us black out the memory, some of us want that amnesia. And that can even transcend lifetimes or epigenetically. You see how animals just have this innate awareness to fly south for the winter, let's say. They have the cones and the rods within their minds and the right crystalline structures to where they just know, like, my ancestors flew there. I'm going to go there too. If you look at the monarch butterflies, if you look at all the animals, well, also with humans, the epigenetic memory is real. So you might say, well, there are certain characteristics in which I'm embodying, a grandfather that had a proclivity for collecting rare, unique things, and somehow it passed down to the next gene. And some people might say in other relational kinds of factions that, oh, that particular person inherited something in our family that is seen as a curse, right? But I'm just going to keep it light and discuss the fun stuff. So if there's a preordination, a precept of the mind where perhaps, Grandpa Leonard loved to collect steamboats for some reason, and unique and beautiful rare antiquaries, let's say something cute, something anomalous, that there are people out there that love that, but a specific niche, like a specific that's not just your normal steamboat collection. There might be something special about it. Well, somehow, without even an exposure to that knowledge, that perhaps down the line, and an ancestor would have that same proclivity. And so that's part of the epigenetic DNA in the soul blueprint that things carry forth and carry on, where it's innately within the hidden knowledge of the self. So in that identification of that awareness, there are going to be things that we cannot denounce, things that we cannot deny to ourselves that are true. And what is mysterious, what is not, is there an explanation for? Maybe there's not, that we're aware of, but everything starts to kind of coalesce, and the identification, what makes sense, what's nonsensical, what is the rational approach, what is the logical, rational approach, what is an anomaly in itself. So we see the hidden, the unknown, that can make sense and come into the light. And so when we see what is on the psychological spectrum, on the metaphysical spectrum, where we can exist with our light and our dark without conflict, right? And so right now, if you're feeling that emotional surfacing, if you're having this almost like a lamplight, or like a light tower, let's say, of unexpected clarity on something, or you might even feel an internal shift of reality where, wow, something is shifting internally within me. I can't explain it, but I felt off for a while, but now I'm feeling like something is shifting. There's a resurgence occurring. And the reason why is because that in a special balance is creating that awareness within. So putting the pieces of the puzzle together and recognizing what fits in the puzzle, what doesn't fit in the puzzle. Perhaps that fits in another puzzle piece, and you find that unique puzzle piece for the puzzle you're working on now. And so when you're looking at what can exist without conflict, you want to look at what is in the inner emergence, because when we're in the winter of our life, in the seasons, we're in perhaps a hermetization, withdrawal, inner reflection, repose, processing. Sometimes it can feel super heavy. Sometimes there's a stillness or a stagnation. But essentially, the psyche has been activated the entire time. The subconscious is recording every single thing. And the subconscious, like I was saying, epigenetically recording everything in a soul DNA spectrum. But things that you might not realize that you're holding on to, but you're holding on to it. So during the equinox, recognizing that your psyche has been working essentially the entire time, right? We see those insights that begin to come to the surface. We see the previously unseen. We feel this energetic response, this like a revival of our energy, energy returns. And then, what is one of the most, I would say, people ask this the most commonly. I've been missing my motivation. I've been missing energy. And I get it. Life can be exhausting. And, with responsibilities, raising families, work, career, personal goals, and just keeping up in general. However, what I'm focusing here on is that the energy for the self, the inner, like the mitochondria, the powerhouse in the physiology that literally out pictures in how we correspond. So we have our mitochondria, the inner power source, and then we have our divine light, our life force, our chi, our prana, all of that, however you look at it. But we feel this resurgence, your own inner resurrection of yourself. Your motivation can reappear after it's been dormant for so long, but it wasn't really dormant. It felt dormant, but it was still waiting, at the helm of you, right? So if you look at organically a seed, if you look at like an organic seed that has to be broken open, you can see yourself as that organic seed that wants to break open and, proliferate life, proliferate to create again, to, let's say, chase that change or be an action, a change agent, right? And in a way, perhaps that there's a steadfastness in that feeling ready. Sometimes many people, besides the perfectionist, besides the self-sabotage subconsciously of being perfectionist or waiting for everything right before you start, right? How many of us have been through that? So sometimes there's this quiet readiness that appears that we didn't realize that we had before, where it's like, wait, we don't need it to be quote unquote seemingly perfect to our inner internal standards of what is perfection for us before we're ready to launch, but I'm feeling ready. I'm going to go do it. I'm going to get it done. So that's also part of the activation of change and shifting into that change, right? Being your own change agent organically and allowing that inner seed to grow and then to blossom. And then, of course, we can talk about the aftercare, like of, the follow through. But when we go back, though, to the state of in the threshold state of action, we go into the liminal consciousness, right? So this is when the equinox that we have within ourselves is corresponding to the equinox that's going on in the world right now, and cosmically, agriculturally, in the earthly dimension, and also in the astral dimension, the cosmic dimension, the divinity. We can recognize that either one is not one or the other, right? So in a liminal state, you're in between the identities, you're in between the phases of life, you're in between what was the past and what is next in the scene, next in the chapter, and what is becoming, right? So when you hear about, planting the seeds coming to fruition, right? When you're praying, when you're manifesting, when you're invoking, when you're asking, when you're affirming, when you're declaring, oftentimes the goal is to see that your seeds will yield a great harvest and it will come to fruition. So you might feel during this particular time in the waiting at the threshold, the waiting in the liminal place where we're right between winter before summer in the spring. So if you notice that your psychic abilities, your mediumship abilities, your intuition increases, if you're feeling more prone to, your own precepts in the spiritual, divine, and your language in which you feel connected to source, the language you feel connected to God, the language that you feel connected to the angelic realm, and so forth, this would be the time because it's been living there, was just in a dormancy, but still active in the undercover state. But now the reactivation phase is here. And so when we go into the in-between of the ideations, the in-between of those phases, the phases that we reflect upon, the phases that we want to work towards, and the phases of, let's say, in between, like I was saying earlier, like the past and the present, and what is to become of that. And so, how do we apply and how do we get to the version 2.0, version 3.0 of ourself, right? How do we take from the past what we have learned, the let's say, the tragedies, the transgressions of others, the counteracting, counter defense, and then how do we utilize it in the present moment so we can exponentially apply it towards our future self for an even more extraordinary chance at prevailing, at being victorious, right? How do we work within and around that? So that's why this particular time is very sacred, because we're in that liminal place of reflection and of where we're no longer in the rumination phase, but we're in the action, implementation of action. And so we are recognizing a reorganization, essentially, into a new form of ourself. And when we see how, spring is life, right? Spring welcomes new life. We see the resurrection, the rebirth of Christ. We see the rebirth of the cosmos all the time, the rebirth within ourselves. We see our own. And when we see into our own mirror, at times, let's say that it can be quite overwhelming or confusing. But right now, it's more like, okay, we're allowing this to reintegrate, a reorganization, the particles being reorganized in such a way in which we can take on this new form and thereby being in the alchemy of the self. Because we're always changing, right? If we don't change in some way, then we're not activating any of those precepts, any of those ordinations. Some people want to stay the same because they're afraid of change or they're comfortable the way they are. Some people can see that as complacency. Others might not. It just depends on what actually is needing to change or what actually doesn't need to change but stay exactly the same. But in the order of change and the agency of change and the laws of divinity, the change is the transformation, but you're essentially the same you. You're just a better version of you. That is the goal. That is the order. So you're still you in the composite, but perhaps it's something about your body that you wanted to change. Like if it's your microbiome, if it's your health, if it's something you're wanting to improve, right? But if it's something that you want to change from a negative habit, that you want to quit a certain vice that is not complementary to your life and your goals, that of course is the time to change, to remove that negative element out of your life. But you essentially are the same person. You essentially are not changing, but you're improving. So the goal is improvement. The goal is to improve the self without changing, remaining the same, but with a new accolade, a new attribute that is contrasting and replacing the negative attribute that is no longer, you want to quell that, you want to quash that, you're still the same you. And typically, what happens is when one removes the negative attribute that is not serving them, that's actually detracting from their true range of self, then they become even a better version of themselves. Where when someone say, "Oh, you've changed," well, that's very common. But what I'm speaking of is in the change within the self, meaning that you're still the same, but what detracted, what complements, right? So, what is adding a complication? What is adding a complement? So, when it's complicating it, it's detracting. But when it's complementing it, it's adding. So, in the expansion, contraction, there is that field of growing into more of who you really are. So, sometimes an excess, too much of a good thing, can make someone act in a certain way. Sometimes too much of a bad thing can also cause one to act another way. But when you look at the improvements, the helm of you, the core reality of yourself, that there's been an improvement, and then there's a transformation. And yeah, Some can say, of course, change and transformation are synonymous, but I'm speaking in a way where it's not like you've changed bodies, but you've changed the reality around you that affects who you are. So essentially, this is a very opportune time for reorganization, reorder, and a reset into the new form while maintaining who you truly are right now. And then the other element of, we all have free will. We have the gift of free will that God gave us, or free will that, if you look at universally, okay, we're sovereign, we have autonomy to choose. But, the laws of order and the divine, the consequences of order, the karmic laws of effects, actions, effects, consequences, so forth. So when we look at the other aspect of coming out of this liminal framework of this setting of time, we look at what is in the will of ourself, what is in the renewal aspect, not by force, but by choice, right? And so sometimes when we're in this equinox energy, we'll feel that activation, but it might feel gentle, not pushed, not forced, but it comes from that inner alignment, and then also what's externally aligned that complements our inner alignment and what we seek. And so, if we look at it from a psychological perspective, how many of you have felt like, wow, I just want to feel reconnected to my purpose, right? How many of you felt like, wow, I just want to, feel the spark again within myself, right? So there's the reawakening, there's the reconnection, there's the purpose, the intention of purpose behind that's congruent with the reawakening of, like, let's say, desire, and the creative aspect, emotionally, spiritual. When's the last time that you wrote in your journal? When's the last time that you meditated, right? You think about, wow, when's the last time I picked up my rosary? Or when's the last time I said my prayers? Or when's the last time that I, did some mirror work on myself and I did some self-love, some self-worth work? When's the last time that I went to the gym or did some stretching or yoga or I did Tai Chi? Or when's the last time I did a juice cleanse or a fast? Or when is the last time I did a restorative cleanse on my own without anyone forcing you, without some agent saying to you, you need to do this, you need to do that? We're talking about yourself, no force, just your own personal free will. So you're thinking, when's the last time that I made my inner sanctum reverent? When is the last time that I acknowledged my gifts? When is the last time that I sat and I just listened to God, the universe, to, my angels, my spirit guides? When is the last time that you actually let yourself feel alive? When is the last time that you actually allowed yourself some self-care? And sometimes being in the stillness is self-care. Sometimes drowning out the noise of the external world is self-care, where if you power down, any devices, distractions, if you power down social media, if you power down anything that kind of can detract you or create a distraction from sitting and listening to the still small voice within, this is part of it. So that's, that desire to reawaken that inner self, the emotional, spiritual, creative, feeling like, oh, I wish I could draw again. I want to color in my coloring book. I want to do adult coloring book or little kids, whatever it is. I want to, crochet. I want to go swimming. I want to cook or learn to cook, whatever it is. So you're going to feel this, let's say, increased energetic alignment towards a capacity of invoking more action to come in. So the key words here are not by force, not by pushing. We can't force those carrots to grow quickly, can we? If there's genetically modified, that's a whole different thing. I'm not going to go there. But We can't just sit there and say, okay, carrots, grow overnight. Just grow, 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 forcing. We can't. Just like we can't force a baby in the womb to grow ultra fast and be at the perfect, growth and weight. You know, if it's premature, it's premature, but separate from that, we're talking, right? So it's like we can't expect baby kittens to be born, baby puppies to be born faster than they are at their perfect timeline. So just as we are patient with what is growing outside of us or within us, for those of you that are, in utero with child, but just saying, when you're looking at the carrots, when you're looking at that seed, that tree, you must also reflect that, give yourself that grace, allowing yourself to feel that inner grace and allowing yourself to feel that sacred within, allowing the space, listening to the signals, listening to the divine, listening to God's voice, listening to the angelic voice, your spirit guides, listening to your ancestors, listening to your own inner intellect that says, okay, my time is here where I think it's time that I start to follow what's already been presented to me and what's rising within me. So that increased capacity for action feels more organic. And that's what I mean by that, planting the organic seed of the self to allow it to open. And so sometimes also during this particular period, especially coming out of Mercury and going direct right now, many of you may be feeling the call of, let's say, what's relationally within you opening. An emotional opening, a desire to connect. So you might feel like, oh, I feel like reaching out to my friends, or I feel like it's safer right now to reach out because the psyche is experiencing a safety in the light. When we're in the winter, at times we can go through, let's say, many of you can suffer from SAD, seasonal affective disorder. So I'm just noting that that's a real thing. But what I'm speaking of is in this psycho-spiritual way of like when the light comes out more so, there's a spark of wanting to connect and knowing that it feels safer to connect, as opposed to during the winter, everything is bleak and dark, and many want to connect for certain reasons, but sometimes it's hard. You want to hermitize, and it feels forced sometimes for some people. Some people need to surround themselves with many people. Some people feel better alone. But during this particular time, when we're in the light, there's a more of an easy proclivity towards the tenderness, or the emotional defenses aren't so rampant. During winter, there's like a self-defense, like a, okay, I need to preserve and conserve my energy, right? But in the light during this equinox, the psyche does feel safer, like the openness to connect, that the possibility to connect is, fairly, let's say, safe and applicable. So if you're feeling kind of like that, especially with Mercury, like I was saying, Mercury retrograde, a lot of people from the past can attempt to connect. You want to think, you're thinking about nostalgia, you're thinking about connecting to someone, you're miss it's like the reminder, it's like the cosmic chronological historical book saying, hey, remember this? It's like a yearbook, but in the yearbook's sake of, oh, here's some things that you meant to do, you wanted to do, or here's some old friends, some things that you didn't take care of, some things you want to take care of. And now that we're in the direct phase, there's more of a clarity and there's a cohesiveness with that clarity. So essentially, with the relational aspect to, opening and the emotional opening, well, this is the right time to look at how you're thinking and how you're feeling and what it is within you that equates to being and doing, right? And then also to, let's say, we can see control versus surrender. And we don't have to be in the perfection state, But if you feel like it's aligned with you, like, wow, that lands, that tracks, that resonates with me, then you know that on a deep psycho-spiritual level that aligned with the equinox, it is ironically in those ways, it's a return to the light and it's a return to having that correct, right thought action relationship within yourself. So being kind to yourself, being loving to yourself, being gracious to yourself, being nurturing to yourself, right? Letting yourself receive, that it's okay for you to receive. It's okay for you to take action to improve something within you that is now being illuminated. And so sometimes you can ask, especially when you're kind of at this own threshold of the liminal state, you can just ask yourself a simple question as an inner practice, whether or not you're praying, whether or not you're manifesting, whether or not you're doing breath work, or you're praying in your own way that's specific to you, or you're meditating in your own way specific to you. But look in yourself, look within, and if you're feeling called and you feel like, wow, this feels right for me, even if it's for 30 seconds, this feels right for me. And it's not forced. It never has to be forced. It has to be on your own volition, on your own accord, when you feel it's just right. And you can just write it down, or you can notate it down. You can, or think to yourself and just say, what within myself has been hidden, but has been very much alive? When I say that, many of you may feel like, oh, that actually makes sense. That's applying to me. So, also another statement could be, what am I beginning to feel primed, ready for, to step forward, to step anew, right? What is my new path? What am I feeling? What am I beginning to feel so I can be ready to step into the new path? And then also, you can contemplate on this, is that how can I, or where can I allow both light and shadow to coexist within me without judgment? So if you're looking at how can the light spectrum and the shadow coexist within myself without judgment, remember that the two need each other to correspond, and the judgment in the scales is, the self-judgment, the shame over effect is not being kind to the self. So we go inward and we go deeper into that realm and we sort out, right? What has been hidden within me but remains alive? What feels alive but has been hidden? And then if we go again back into what am I feeling to sprout? Essentially, what is waiting to sprout within me, but how am I going to step forward with that? Those are all fair questions. But the one piece that I find for many is, for introspection purposes, is that where can you allow both your light and shadow to coexist without the judgment? Judgment of self, fear, judgment from others. And that's a private practice. On your own pace, it's truly simple, and that can feel complex when you're in it, but at the end of the day, it's quite simple and it's a nice little inner practice. And so it's truly the embodiment of, in a gentle way, the embodiment of the equinox consciousness. So it's essentially honoring your shadow, honoring the shadow of yourself without the fear. Honoring the shadow within yourself without that judgment, right? And then recognizing your sacred light without forcing the light or without forcing the dark to subside, right? So again, being at that threshold, which the equinox is a threshold and a liminal place, but what are you noticing? What are you witnessing in the moment of that crossing that threshold? So it's truly in the psycho-spiritual balance that is made known, that is made aware, that is made visible to the self. And also, too, affecting dreams. Your dreams might be in a very, significantly symbolic place. So, before I close today's show, I did want to mention that, take these notions with you, reflect, if you wish, gently, and in a divine way that's sacred for you, that speaks to your own language. But look within, and it wouldn't be a bad thing to look at if your dream state or the symbolic, the archetypal imagery that you might encounter, or if you're having some sort of, let's say, synchronicity, if you're seeing and feeling the messengers, the emergence of messengers, or if you're seeing certain beautiful animals, and if there's like a repetition. A framework within where you're like, wow, that's a theme coming up. And of course, it's anonymous. The animals are coming out. There's going to be a variation of species that you may encounter. But at the same time, nothing is a coincidence in this world. Nothing is a coincidence. And then I did want to say, look at the next 3 weeks of your life. Look through the next 2 weeks, next 3 to 6 weeks. Just see what you can seed for your life, what can sprout into structure, and what can entail the growth that you're seeking. And if you look at your own personal timing without force, without feeling judged or judging yourself, you'll notice that it's guided specifically just for you. And so, I wanted to thank all of you for your presence and your participation today of the Beyond Earth Show. And those of you that subscribe, thank you so much. And I hope that reflecting upon this special time will give you that sustenance and the reminder that you're allowed to let yourself flourish and seek what you desire, what's true for yourself, your transformation, your growth, and allowing that divinity and the magic of your own resurrection come through you. And so I wanted to thank you all again. It's been a pleasure, and I'm your host, Ray Trujillo of the Beyond Earth Show, and I will be back in 2 weeks' time, and I'll see you all very soon. Thank you again. Bye.